Okay, so tonight things are going down a little bit differently than how we normally do it. So if you're a guest here this week, things are a little bit different. We don't always do it like this, but I hope to do it more often. We have several of your friends preaching tonight. Yeah, it's super exciting. They've been working hard on what God has laid on their hearts, seeking the Lord. We have a couple of them doing sermons tonight, and then we have a couple more doing it the week after we get back from Fine Arts because they've been out of town and all of that. So tonight we have Apollonia, we have Jairus, and we have Mr. Adam Vella. So, yeah, give it up for them. Hey, all right, before we get into it tonight, though, I want you guys to give your friends your utmost respect. I know that you guys do a really good job. You guys killed it last week. You guys paid attention, and it seemed like it. You guys were faking it pretty good if you were not paying attention. But I want you guys to give them your full attention. I want you to cheer them on. I want you to talk them down like we do in Southern church. Be like, give them an amen, brother. You know what I'm saying? Okay. All right. Yeah, okay. As they come up and do their sermons, though, I want you guys to be really respectful. I don't need to tell you to respect your friends. You should already do that. But please don't make it an issue of disrespecting your friends, because that'll make me very sad and I will cry, and nobody wants to see that. So, all right, who did we decide to go first? Okay, Adam, come on up here. Okay, and then let's see, Apollonia and Jairus, why don't you guys stand up? Just stay put, but stand up. Just stand up. Okay. Hey, really quick, if you guys are around this section, I want you guys lay your hands on them, and then you guys go ahead and stretch your arms out to Adam. We're going to pray for these guys before they get started tonight. Lord, I thank you so much that these are students that are acting and responding to the purpose that you have placed in their lives. God, that they have been awesome interns over this summer, and Lord, I just ask that in these next few moments that you will just fill them with your spirit, overfill them with your spirit, God, that there will be students here that hear something out of their friends' mouths that they have never heard before, and God, that it'll inspire them to grow deeper in a relationship with you and get to know you and your son better. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Take a seat. Take a seat. Ooh, ooh, I'm getting ready, y'all. Let's go. I'm feeling it. All right. Are you ready to go? What? Oh, okay. Lucy, do you have the flashlight? Okay. I'll find one for you. All right, hold on. Adam, entertain the folks.
Yee yee.
Preach. That's what
I'm saying. Oh, okay. Okay. How y'all guys doing? All right, that's good. That's good. All right, so. All right, here we go. So I've always been afraid of the dark since I was like 6 years old, right? So my sermon is about light, and we read through John, all the 21 chapters, and the only thing that spoke to me was light. Dang, that's a big flashlight. Ooh, gosh. All right. So when I was 5 years old, the typical five-year-old was scared of the dark. So I had a flashlight just like this. Well, not just like this, but like very small, not big. But I turned it on, and it was dim like that. I couldn't see anything. And so I was like, oh, I might as well just leave it in my room. So I put it in my room, right? And then I take off to the fridge, get the orange juice, get my cookies, get the leftover pizza. I got warming up in the microwave 2 minutes. You know what I'm saying? Anyone in the house know? All right, whatever. So I leave the fridge open because there's a light in the fridge. I leave it open, and the light's in there, so I'm like, okay, I'm cool. And then I'm making my pizza and everything. And so I put it in the microwave. I close it, waiting for that. And it finishes, have it on my plate, have a drink, and then I'm done, all right? Close the refrigerator, and it's dark, pitch black. I'm like, oh, my gosh, what was I thinking? I was like, oh, no. Oh, gosh, help me. And then so, you know, yeah, the monster that you had when you were 5 years old. Anyone in here? You draw it out, one with six arms and six legs. But so I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. So I was like, ah! And I'm like stomping really hard. And my mom can hear it. And she's like, go to sleep. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. And then I walk into my room. I almost dropped my pizza. I put it on my counter. My bed's right there. And I'm like, he's gonna get me. He's under my bed. And so, like, if you step on the edge of the bed, he's gonna grab you, like, wah! And then I'm like, okay, so I jump, and I land on my bed, and I was like, okay, cool, I'm cool. I was like, I should have got a flashlight. I should have got a flashlight. This flashlight has light, and barely see it. It has light. And so, in the Bible, John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have light of life. So, okay. Thank you. Appreciate it. So, if I had my flashlight, I wouldn't have been so scared. I wouldn't have been so scared of the demons that I faced. But if I had my flashlight, I could have seen stuff, but I can't really see out of this flashlight. I could see. And if I didn't have my flashlight, so I was walking in darkness. And so, when you walk in darkness, you will tumble, you will fall, and you won't see where you're going. But if you walk with light with God, he'll give you a straight path towards home. And who went to camp? Yeah, I went to camp? Okay. Remember that when Tristan, he was like, it takes like one step at a time towards home. He said Jesus is at a house, he's at his porch, and he's like, come on, and you're taking baby steps, you know? That's the light. That's the light I'm talking about. The light that's going to get you to him. You know what I'm saying? Come on, man. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. Just leave that there. That's good. All right, so John chapter 12, verse 44. It says, when a man believes in me, he does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. Oh, I lost my spot. Okay. I have come into the world as a light, so no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. Woo. So I'm going to end this on a note. So when you're walking in the light, you can see everything. But when you're walking in darkness, you will fall and stumble. I kind of like that. Do any of y'all like that? That's good, right? That's good. That's really good. All right, so do we have batteries for this? No? Dang. Okay, so a demonstration was going to be you have old batteries. So, like, if before you didn't go to camp, your batteries were dimmed, like this flashlight is. But if you had when you went to camp, you maybe came after camp, you got saved and all that stuff, your batteries would have been shining like that. You know what I'm saying? That's the good stuff right there, man. But walk in light and not in darkness, or you will stumble and fall. Thank you.
Very good. All right, give it up. Oh, my gosh. Give it up for Adam. Give it up one more time. Come on. That's good. I really wish we would have had another battery. Sorry, buddy. Bad youth pastor moment. All right. Who's second? Jairus, give it up for Jairus. Give it up for this man. All right, you ready to go?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. All right, give it up for Jairus one more time.
Okay, I don't know which one. So, I'm going to be talking about depression. Okay, so first thing I want to start off with is, dang it, I clicked on the wrong thing. Okay, so, please. Okay, so not to mix anybody's minds up, depression isn't necessarily a spiritual thing. You can be physically diagnosed with it, but it can affect your spiritual life a lot. Okay, so John chapter 6, 53 says, so Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Okay, so depression, I'm going to start off with, what is depression? Depression, it can be a lot of things, depending from where you've come from in your life or like what can be going on in your life right now. So for me, depression was crazy. A few years back, I struggled with a lot of depression. I had so much pain in my life. And you know what? It was so bad. All it did was just hold back nothing, nothing from truth. Like, it was just really, really bad. Anyways, so now my testimony wasn't the craziest. I didn't have, like, a comeback from life. In fact, all I did was just fall into God's arms, and I gave him a chance, and my life completely got turned around. Okay. This leads into my next main point. What's your atmosphere, and what are you going to do about it? So when I ask the question, what's your atmosphere, I mean, what do you surround yourself with? So we can be going through some depression, right? Well, what are you going to do about it? Okay, here's my example. So you have an air filter, right? What? Oh, okay. Are you going to hold it? Okay, thank you. Okay, so say you have an air filter, and wherever you're going to use it, say you got dust all on this side. So let's just use depression for an example. So you got depression, you got your air filter, and you got all this dust and all this stuff on the side of it, and you're just lingering in your depression. All that dust and everything that's just staying there, that's just lies. It's just going to hold you back. Okay, so say God's trying to speak to you, okay? And say God is the air of life. And he's trying to speak to you, and he's trying to tell you all this truth, but because you're lingering in your depression, you're going to have all this dust just and all these lies just holding on this side. So when God's trying to breathe life and breathe truth into you, it's not going to be able to pass through because all this lies and all the depression you're lingering through, God's going to be trying so hard just to speak to you. And since you got all these lies and you got all this dust, it's going to be harder for you to hear what God's trying to speak to you through truth. So thank you, Isaiah. So when you get all that negativity / depression in your life, are you just going to sit in it, or are you going to linger in it, or are you going to place your faith in God to handle it? Sitting and lingering yourself in the depression can start to have a negative impact on your life. So, like, what are you consuming? So you could be scrolling through Instagram, but you may not notice it, but you're going to be consuming a lot of things. What music are you listening to? You're going to be consuming it. And so basically, depression can be pretty bad as it is, and having, like, whatever you're scrolling through or whatever you're consuming in your life, are you going to trust on God to handle your depression, or are you going to start relying on the things of the world and you're not going to be able to, well, clean your air filter, let's put it that way. So last thing I want to start off with, actually, no. There's one last thing that I want to say before I go to my last point. So I feel like God was speaking to me a while back, and he was saying something like, you know, what you give your attention most to, it's going to have a greater impact on your life. So say you have depression, if you're going to be giving more attention to that and you're going to be lingering it and you're going to be sitting in it, you know, things are just going to get bad. You know, and you're going to have all that, just all these lies on your life, and then God's going to be trying to speak to you, and it's going to be harder and harder and harder because you're giving so much attention to the depression and not to God. But when you give attention to God, God's going to have more authority over your life, and he's going to help you through every single bit of it. So, finally finishing it off, now, I know what depression is like. I've been through a lot of it. And sometimes you may not want to come forward to anyone about it, but I do advise that you do come forward to God about it. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he felt every ounce of sin on him. He felt every amount of pain that fell on him. So if anything, God and Jesus understands anything that you're going through the most rather than anybody. So I advise you to come before him.
All right, good word. Good word, Jairus. All right, last but not least, Miss Apollonia.
I wish I had an air horn. All right, give it up for one more time.
So if you're like me, you probably go through temptation a lot. Temptation happens quite often, just about every day. You go outside, there's one of your temptations. It's always there no matter what you do. And a lot of you know what temptation is. Temptation has many different definitions. But the definition I prefer is temptation is when you have an urge to do something wrong or unwise. You know what your temptation is, but yet you still choose to do it instead of going to God. We often wonder, is it possible to fight temptation, or do we just have to fall into our temptation? And you always ask yourself, how do we fight our temptations? In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says, we can fight our temptation by drawing near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your heart, you double-minded. We also often wonder, does Jesus understand our temptation? Did he ever have to go through temptation? In fact, he did. He went through a lot of temptation. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, it says, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." In Luke chapter 4, verses 3 to 8, it says, "The devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by the Spirit.' And the devil took him up the mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." And I think that the devil will take you up that mountain and show you everything you could possibly have if you just give in to that temptation. But Jesus said to him, the devil said to him, "I will give you all of this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whom I will." He also said, "If you worship me, and it will be all yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" No matter what the devil throws at you, you always need to be able to turn to God, because he will always help you out. And once we find out, once we learn how to fight our temptation and understand that Jesus understands us, we always ask ourselves, is there a way out of temptation? In fact, there is a way out of temptation, and that way is Jesus. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12 to 13, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall. Though temptation has overtaken you, that is common in man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it." No matter what they throw at you, you can stand that temptation. All you have to do is turn to God when in doubt or when in need. Thank you.
All right, that's good. That's good. Hey, give it up for them, all of them, one more time. Hey, all right, so tonight, I'm also going to give you guys a short sermon, and you're like, right, okay. I'm going to set a timer for myself, so I'll shut up when it goes off. What I'm talking about tonight, though, is, how many of you guys know who Kanye West is? A close personal friend of mine. Okay, so Kanye, he's been doing something a little bit unique over the last, I don't even know how many months it's been, but he's been doing this thing on Sunday mornings called Sunday Morning Service. And Kanye is, I don't know where he's at with the Lord, but he surrounds himself with really prominent Christians. He surrounds himself with really godly people. And so I have to wonder, like, what the conversations are behind the scenes, because he started these Sunday morning services where they sing songs, they do different renditions of hymns, and a lot of memes come out of it, you know, like him, like playing the piano and thing. Okay. Okay, my wife laughed at me. That's embarrassing. So anyway, they've been doing this Sunday morning service, and in recent interviews, they've said, you know what? It's not preaching. It's not. There's no reading of scripture. There's just a little bit of a prayer, and then we sing songs together, and that's cool and all. Like, you know, it's whatever. That's their expression. It's art. It's religion. Whatever it might be for them. And I think it's a little inspiring to see that godly songs are being at the forefront of culture, right? And so, but I saw something this weekend that I thought was so, so cool. And I shared it on my Instagram story. And it was this pastor named Rich Wilkerson Jr. And he was preaching. Like, not just like, "And then Jesus loves us." But it was, no, he was preaching. The homeboy was going for it at the Sunday morning service. He was preaching the gospel. And so what he talked about was actually, like Adam said, we've been reading through John, the book of John, in our internship. And John chapter 14 was one of the chapters that we studied that really stuck out to me. And Pastor Rich, he talked through a verse here, and I want to share it with you guys tonight. And some of the things he shared, I feel like it could be very impactful for you guys tonight. And so here's what we got. John chapter 14, verse 6, it says, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will also know my Father. From now on, you know him and have seen him. He's saying, you've known him because you see me. You know God because you know me. You know the Father because you know me. But Jesus is very, very blunt that he is the way to God. He's not saying, you know, it's me and everybody else. It doesn't matter how you get there as long as you get to God. No, he's very, very specific. Some people use this verse and say, Jesus, he's exclusive. There's only a certain type of people that can get into heaven. So Jesus saying this, he's not saying, he's disregarding all of the spiritual good things that are happening in the world. Well, he's not exclusive. He's just very specific. See, if you guys have been to my apartment, I give you guys specific instructions on how to get there. You don't go through the main entrance of the complex. You go down to the back entrance, and you go to the second building, and it's the first apartment. And don't come there after a certain hour at night. But I give you guys specific instructions, not exclusive, that only a certain amount of people can come this way. No, it's specific because I want you to be there. So Jesus is specific because he knows his Father's heart. Jesus is specific because he knows that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that no one comes to God except through Jesus. A loving God is not somebody that's exclusive. A loving God is somebody that's specific. And God is very specific. God is very specific, and he says, anybody can come to me, but they have to come through my Son. Not by Allah, not by the thousands and thousands of gods in Hinduism. Not by some religion that they made up about a flying spaghetti monster. Not by something that man makes up in their mind. Not even trying to attain a sense of peace for all of eternity, like they say in Buddhism. There's one way to God, and that is Jesus Christ. So tonight, I want you guys to stand up. I'm going to invite the worship team forward. I have 2 seconds left. As they come, I hope that something that was said tonight, either by me or definitely by one of these students, spoke to you. You might be stumbling around in the dark, wondering, where am I going to find my way? I keep tripping over everything. I can't find my way. I can't find my way. I can't find my way. Or maybe you're struggling with depression and you don't know what to do. Like, the doctors don't know what to do. And in your environment, you seem to be surrounded constantly by sadness. The accounts you follow on Instagram are like sad boy and girl thoughts. And you wonder why you're sad all the time. You wonder why you're sad all the time. And it's because you keep placing yourself in the environment of being sad. The reason why you can't get out is because you aren't taking yourself out of the dust and it's clogging your air filter. Maybe what Apollonia said, talking about temptation, you're wondering, am I ever going to be free from blank, blank, or blank? Am I always going to have this addiction? Does God even understand what I'm going through? Does God even know what I'm going through? Well, he does. He does. Or maybe you're wondering, what is the truth? How do I get to God? I seem to try everything else, but Jesus saying that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that really sticks out to me. And if that's you, for anything, any of these three, we covered quite a bit of ground tonight in our topics. But if you want the light of Jesus in your life, if you want to be freed from depression, if you want to break off the chains of addiction and temptation, or if you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior so that you can know a God that loves you, I want you to spend time responding. So leaders, I need you guys to be ready. Guys, these leaders back here, they're here for you. They're here. Now, they're not just here for fun. They're spending their time to invest into you. So don't let this moment pass without receiving prayer from them. I'm sure all of them can relate to something that was said tonight. All of them can relate to things that you're going through. And so I want you to respond tonight. And maybe that's coming. Maybe you're kind of old school like me and you need to come kneel at the altar. Maybe you're a little bit not sure and you need to go pray with a leader. Whatever you want to do, I want you to respond. And if none of this was for you and you're like, I'm good, I'm loving Jesus, I'm on fire, let's go. Pray for your friends. Don't be selfish with the freedom that God has given you. Lord, I ask that tonight as we spend the next couple moments in responding to you, Lord, I just ask that you will give these students vulnerability. God, that they will come before you and say, God, we need you. God, we need you. God, as we sing these songs, Lord, just fill this place with your presence. Those that are in turmoil and frustrated and hurting, God, I just ask that you will bring peace. God, that you will bring hope. God, that you will bring joy into their lives. And Holy Spirit, that you will continue the work that you have already started in their hearts. Lord, in all these things we pray in Jesus' name, amen.